The content of this podcast should not be considered financial or investment advice. All interviews and discussions are opinions only, and the podcast has been created without taking into consideration the listener's financial objectives, financial situation, or needs. Listeners should obtain independent advice before making any financial decisions. Hi, this is Barry Fitzgerald, Garen Perro columnist for Stockhead. Welcome to another edition of the Explorers Podcast. Today we're catching up with Jonathan Downs. Jonathan is Executive Director of Kaiser Reef, which has the code KAU or Kilo Alpha Uniform. Kaiser Reef only joined the Stock Exchange list in February this year, and initially at least, its focus was on the New South Wales portion of the Lachlan Fold Belt at its Stewarttown and Macquarie North project areas. Stewarttown is located between Newcrest's Cadia gold copper mine, which is currently the biggest gold producer in Australia and probably one of the lowest cost. And on the other side, to the north, is the exciting Boda gold copper discovery of Alkane. From that, it can be taken that Kaiser Reef was already on the radar for investors. But in October, Kaiser, and I'm not sure if I can abbreviate the name to just Kaiser, but I just have, I guess, dialed things up by striking a deal which sees its step into Victoria in a big way. As we all know, Victoria is also a hotspot for gold thanks to the Fosterville mine near Bendigo, owned by Canada's Kirkland Lake. It's become one of the world's most profitable mines, if not the most profitable, thanks to the discovery of the super high-grade Swan Zone. Fosterville is currently the third biggest gold producer in Australia. Now, Kaiser's deal involves it picking up two historic high-grade Victorian projects, the A1 mine near Jameson, about 120 kilometres northeast of Melbourne, and the Morden project, about 140 kilometres northwest of Melbourne. The A1's heritage stretches back to the 1860s with a production history of 620,000 ounces of high-grade gold. It's in Garen Perro's favourite part of Victoria, probably because he remembers his first kiss there on a school tour of the Long Tunnel Extended Mine at the equally historic mining town of Walhalla down to the south. Morden, in the meantime, has a history of 1.74 million ounces of gold at a grade of near enough to 1 ounce a tonne, and it comes with the Union Hill mine and the Porcupine Flat gold processing plant, both obviously near the town of Morden. Its processing plant has been shoving through material from the A1 recently. I'll get Jonathan to give us a rundown on the deal and the associated equity fundraising in a moment, but first up, I'm going to welcome him to the podcast. Hi, Jonathan, and thanks for your time today.
Hi, Barry. Thank you very much for the opportunity.
Great. Thanks, Jonathan. Now, just as a bit of a scene setter, could you give us a bit of a background on yourself and a bit of a snapshot of Kaiser up until the October deal?
Sure, I'd be happy to. Well, I'm a career geologist. I studied at the ANU and came across to WA to start off a mining career, and that's been in my blood now for 30 years. It's a fabulous industry, and I've been involved in 8 IPOs, and we've built 4 mines in the course of those. So we like to think that as a team, we're very focused on taking these assets right through to development. And I guess most recently, before Kaiser, we floated Galena Mining, which is going through the stage of building its mine now. Mm-hmm. And that's a WA-based lead silver project. But I moved on to start up Kaiser, as you said, in February. We listed that. And, it was a very successful listing. And we have this land package and pretty significant historic gold field located, as you said, between the Cadia gold mine and the Alkane Boda discovery, and it on trend, importantly. That sort of sits on a similar trend. And we have commenced some drilling there, but we came across this opportunity that was just compelling. So we had to roll our sleeves up, and unfortunately, the process is quite arduous. Mm-hmm. We had to spend the stock, prepare a notice of meeting, a full prospectus, which is a pretty significant document, but unfortunately we have to cover all the information and made it a much bigger task than probably a lot of people would appreciate. But that is done, and that prospectus is now live and open. And we've got a priority pool for our existing shareholders, but we've also have it open for other investors should they be interested. And what we're buying is transitional for the company. It will see us go from being a gold explorer to a gold producer, and radically improve our gold exploration package as well. I'm sure your listeners are familiar with how popular the Victorian goldfields are now.
Mm-hmm.
And the Kirkland Lakes operation, I think it's a $6 billion company and is Australia's lowest cost gold mine, is very high grade, just to the north of the Malden project area. And at the moment, the operation is in production. It's been in production right through a difficult period when it collapsed, when the gold price fell over, when Dacian and Gascoigne and Blacken were struggling. It was a very difficult market for gold only a couple of years ago. And the Centennial Mine, which was an ASX-listed company, wasn't able to raise funds to keep things going. And they were ramping up a new mine, and they basically ran out of funds and collapsed under a large amount of debt. So we're bringing everything back. It's a spectacular gold price. The operations have continued operating under the administrators, so mm-hmm. that's made it. You don't do that unless it's an attractive proposition to do so.
Mm-hmm.
And we've seen the head grade of ore going through the mill for the last 18 months. It's been over 11 grams a ton. Mm-hmm. It's got a talented team of miners and process plant operators that are operating it. So it comes with a team with deep experience operating the mine, and that mine is operating well under capacity. It's had no exploration work done, no development work, really no reserve drilling. That's what's a very exciting proposition about this, is the prospect to ramp its production back up into what should be a very profitable operation when it's up and running, especially at those sort of grades. And at the moment, there is a drill rig underground doing the first proper exploration work going forward, and I think that will be very exciting. So we'll come out of this raising with, we hope, some exploration results where we're drilling into a high-grade lode that will be the project's or the company's first reserves in a very long time, and we'll immediately put a decline in to develop those. So it's not too far from the current workings, and that'll be the ramp-up point where we're targeting a bigger, more bulk tonnage style operation, going from sort of a handheld air legging operation into a long haul style.
Okay. And just to clarify things for me, is it also processing ore from the A1?
Oh, sorry, that is the processing plant's located in Malden.
Mm.
The mine is all, the only mining is being conducted at the A1 mine at the moment.
Right.
So we have the exploration work going on at A1, and that material will be taken to, as it is now, to Malden for processing. Malden itself is a very exciting proposition because it also, as you pointed out, has a production history of 1.7 million ounces, 28 grams a ton, and has some very exciting exploration projects within it, including the Nuggety Reef mine, which was a historic mine that produced 301,000 ounces of gold at 187 grams a tonne head grade, which is extraordinary and rates Australia's highest grade mines. It sits on this unusual granite contact, and that granite contact continues at a shallow angle underneath the all the historic gold workings. And there's a lot of theories about why the gold sits above it and what the potential might be, but it hasn't really been explored in great detail, although Western Mining did do some drilling a long time ago and did get up to 204 grams a tonne in their drill results outside that historic area, but on strike. So I think there's some extremely exciting exploration potential in the district as well. And the beautiful thing about the Maldon project is it's a granted mining license that that has a lot of existing infrastructure. There's already a decline there. There's ventilation. The mine is dewatered at Union Reefs, and there's a portal at Nuggety Hill that just needs that decline put in. So there's a potential to convert any discovery into production very rapidly.
What's the scale of the plant?
It's a 150,000-ton carbon-in-pulp style plant. So it is scalable. It's something that could be upgraded from 150,000 tons. But if you're dealing with high grades, the size of the plant doesn't really matter too much. And one example I'll give you is that those 300,000 ounces at the Nuggety Reef mine, representing about $750 million in Aussie dollar terms at the moment, was contained in only 50,000 ounces, tons of ore.
Yeah, magic stuff.
Yeah.
I've actually visited the Maldon treatment plant many, many years ago, and it was at a time when gold mining of any type in Victoria was a difficult subject, but I seem to remember the operation had a very good, well, it was configured to minimise noise and dust, obviously, but it had a very good relationship with the local community. Is that still the case?
Yes, it certainly does. It's quite a significant local employer. I mean, the Maldon town is actually originally there because of the gold mining, so it has that heritage link. And we certainly, it's not located right in the town, but it's pretty close.
Yeah, okay. So unlike picking up a project in WA, which might have, 100,000 in resource reserve, are there any JORC-compliant resource reserves associated with this acquisition, or is it more a exploration development/scenario that you'll be pursuing?
We've taken a very conservative view. It did have a significant resource, which recorded with the ASX, and it's on the Centennial Mining website, which is still up and running at centennialmining.com.au. But for the sake of our prospectus, we don't talk about that. It's a much cleaner situation if we look at the data at hand. We've had a team of experts come up with a local, more applicable resource base that's immediately economic. So we're going to start pretty much from scratch from a resource basis, and that's what the drill rig's doing now. That's the first big start,
right.
And we're going to rebuild that.
Yeah. And in the interim, a lot of exploration going on in Victoria currently. I guess there is potential for Porcupine Flat, the treatment mill, that is, to become something of a potentially a toll treater for other people's ores, and if that pans out?
Absolutely, Barry. That's a point of significant latent value that I believe is something that will become more prominent in the near future. There certainly are some very active explorers. Some of them are getting some great results. And Victoria being Victoria, you know, I think the idea of building a new gold processing plant would be more difficult than it was even 20 years ago.
Mm.
So terrific strategic advantage in owning a mill that's fully permitted and operating. And I think as a central hub for the other producers could be a big win for the Kaiser shareholders as well in the future, and obviously for the other explorers who will hope to have some pathway to realise revenue.
Right, okay. Now, the A1, for a long time, has been sort of air-leg mining, narrow but high-grade sort of reef systems. What do you see as the upside at the A1?
The A1 is an interesting ore body. It's a little different to your typical Victorian reefs. It's actually was discovered in 1861 and has been in production pretty much the whole time right up till today. So it's an extraordinary operation from just a mine life perspective. Mm. The ore body is hosted with an intrusive unit. So and what that means is it's not just hosted in narrow high-grade reefs, which it certainly is in part, and that's what's currently being mined with the air leg mining operations. But it's got a sort of a diorite host that is mineralized as well, and that's much wider. It's up to 40 meters wide, and that's the subject of our current drilling right now, which is to define a larger, wider bulk source of ore. Yeah. These have been mined in the past. They have been very profitable. And there's a new one that hasn't been exploited yet called the Queen's Lode. And the Queen's is looking very good from the current drilling that we're doing right now. So the vision is then to define a proper reserve there and extend that decline that we have to start long haul mining, which will, radically increase the amount of ore that we start trucking to Maldon. So, So that's the vision, and it's on track and looking good.
Right. Now, I guess the obvious question from a lot of people will be, what does this mean for the New South Wales projects? Is there a shift of focus now, or will the company be continuing the exploration programs up in New South Wales?
I think we'll certainly continue. We did a first round of drilling in New South Wales, and it was difficult to explain to the market because we got one of our drill holes, for example, returned a 15-meter zone at just over 1 gram a ton, but it wasn't easily repeatable. The assay labs commented that they had a lot of trouble getting a continuous reading on that, because it had a coarse gold fraction. So we did what we call a fire screen assay, and we separated the coarser rock from the drilling, which was RC drilling chips, from the finer material. And we got, if you look at the 75 micron fraction, which was less by volume, then it was 13 meters at around or over 5 grams of gold. But if you look at the fine fraction, it was 13 meters at 0.3 grams of gold. Right. So we've got a lot of work to do to work out what's happening, and I suspect we've got these very coarse gold, or you'd almost call them micro nuggets, making up the ore body. And we're still trying to resolve exactly what to do, but we might in fact have to take those 20 kilo samples and actually process them and see what amount of gold is actually in there. So the first phase of drilling was really interesting. There's definitely gold there, and we hit gold in almost every drill hole, but it's going to take us a little time to work out how to tackle the next exploration, and we are certainly committed to seeing if we can make a success of that project.
Right. There is, I think the history there, Stuart Town I'm talking about, dates back to, what, the 1850s, and there's an absolute swarm of historic digging scratchings in the area. But here we are in a couple of hundred years later, and we still don't really know, is this a million-ounce field or 2 million-ounce field? Why is there that mystery? Is it the geology, or just because it was ignored for some other reason, maybe the Victorian goldfields coming along?
It's a really good question. It has had some big owners in the past, including Newcrest, but CRA, which is now Rio Tinto, it hasn't had much real focus. They've done a preliminary soil program. They got some gold, but no one ever really followed up. But it is a fascinating gold field. It was as you said, it's one of the most prolific gold fields by the way of number of shafts and mine workings that I've ever seen in my life. And the fact it's had so little drilling and exploration is staggering. The whole field was mined in, as you said, the 1850s, and it wasn't until 1875 that they started keeping records about the gold that was produced. And at that stage, the field was actually being wound up, so it had a massive gold rush. But the records are, even the records of the gold that was produced are almost non-existent. And you know, since it closed, I think about 170,000 ounces was produced, but but it is thought that it could have been a much, much larger amount in the early days.
Okay. Now, just some housekeeping associated with the Victorian deal. Obviously floated early last year, so your capital base is very tight. What's and you've got the prospectus out there now for, what, $7.5 million at 30 cents a share. I'm just wondering what is the scale of the company going to look like post the deal going through, or assuming shareholders voted through on December 21 and the fundraising is completed?
Well, at the share price that we're raising the money at, which is 30 cents a share, and on a post-consolidation basis, there'll be 115 million shares on issue. So the company will be worth about $38 million fully diluted, about $35 million pre-dilution. So you've got a $35 million market capitalization. We'll have about $10 million in the bank and an operating gold mine with all these gold fields. So the enterprise value will be $25 million. And I think that would be right up there, if not the lowest enterprise value for a gold operation in Australia. It's it'll allow the company to get re-rated, and I think that's the whole plan.
And of that $10 million, there'll be a slab of that directed to exploration, say in New South Wales as well as the Victorian operations.
Yes, that's right.
So I guess what I'm saying, it's not going to be the sole focus. Will not be simply production. You do intend trying to size out these projects on the exploration side of things.
Absolutely. Our shareholders are very clear about their focus on exploration. I think that ongoing work at Stuarttown is a given. We're definitely very excited by the prospects at the A1 mine at Deeps, which is currently subject of exploration. We'll be also focusing on the Nuggety Reef mine because, personally, I think that's just incredibly exciting, and the Union Hill mine, which is on care and maintenance, will be a high priority to do some exploration around that too. Given all the existing underground workings there, we'll be able to use that as supplementary feed for the mill as well. So we've got numerous fronts of exciting exploration going forward, and I think that's what the market really wants. Obviously, having a profitable mine behind you to, you know, keep that cash flow going to drive your expansion is going to be a big win for us as well.
Okay. So let's just bring it all together for investors in terms of what they should look out for in the next 3 to 6 months.
Sure. Hopefully very, very early next year we will be trading again. And at about that time, we should be in a position to release the exploration results from the underground. We'll have to start showing the market the production on a quarterly basis that we're getting out of the mine, and I think those grades will put us in a top percentile. So, I believe the high grade gold will continue out of the A1 mine, and then we'll have all the we'll be ramping up all the other exploration as well. So we'll be well funded to do that. The company, for the first time in a long time, will be from the Victorian perspective, will have no debt, so it'll be really free to do a proper job on unlocking value in the Victorian fields.
Right. Okay. What a remarkable story, really. Transformation from, as I noted earlier, lots of interest in the New South Wales exploration effort, but to transform into a producer from a high, well, fairly famous mine names in Victoria in the space of, 12 months from listing, remarkable stuff. So with that, Jonathan, I'm going to say thanks for your time today. Thanks for the explanation. Really interesting stuff, and we wish you all the best. Cheers, mate.
Thank you.